right, people, I need a go no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Welcome to episode 1066 of the Geek News Central podcast. It's Thursday, October 8th. The show is sponsored in part by our good friends at GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or by paypal.me/geeknews. You can always pick up Ohana wear and gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, again, my name is Todd Cochran. I'm absolutely thrilled to be here with you. And just about 5 minutes before I started the show today, I really looked at the calendar and I was like, this is close as it's going to get to the 11th year anniversary of this show. And to be honest with you, I really haven't prepared anything special. So I got a few things to say. You guys, most of you have heard it all before. So I'll be talking about some of that soon. We'll get into that in a few minutes. But I'm just absolutely thrilled to be here. If you are brand new to the Geek News Central podcast, you've turned into a great night for a show to tune into. And the best thing you can do to continue to be engaged and thrilled and get hook, line, and sinker into this show and join our Ohanas by going over to geeknewscentral.com. We want you to subscribe to the show. It's very easy to do so. Just click on the icons on the website, whether you're an iOS user or an Android user. That'll get you 99% there. All you have to do once you click that link is click the next button. It says subscribe, and you'll be connected to the show. And then just remember, the show comes out every Tuesday and Friday. You can tune in Tuesday morning, Friday morning on your commute. You can get to all the latest tech news, stuff that's been going on. You can hear about what's going on here. And this is about a relationship, and we want to have a relationship with you. As well, on that website are links to our newsletter. The newsletter really is just a recap of the show notes. Really nothing special there, except you'll get an email before you probably even get the podcast in your mobile device. And you'll be able to follow along on everything that I covered during the show. Of course, on the website as well, we want you to pay attention to all of our partner shows. No Better Than Average at NoBetterShow.com with Jacob and Jeff. HT Weekly with Jamie Davis at HTWeekly.com. The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain at TheGadgetProfessor.com. The Elder Divide with Todd Ani at ElderDivide.com. We've got our Pro Gear site at ProGear.Guru. So lots of content, lots of shows, lots of great stuff. If there isn't something here that you cannot get engaged with, we're doing something wrong. Lots of written content as well. And I saw Sean picked up on an article that I talked about on the last show about air paper. Which will cancel your Comcast bill for $5. Go ahead. If you're a Comcast customer, cut that cord. And then Jen wrote some stuff today about being handmade at Amazon, competes with Etsy. One thing I am ready to do at this point is I am ready to bring on a few more writers at geeknewscentral.com. I put this call out from time to time. This is a paid position. I do pay per blog post. I give a lot of freedom to the writers that want to write on the site. So if you're looking to expand your horizons, you want to join our family, we would like to have you to come on as a writer. We're going to get ready to go into the holiday season where lots of stuff is going to be talked about from product standpoints and stuff, maybe for Christmas ideas. So we want you to be involved with that. So if you want to consider being a writer at Geek News Central, get on over here. But more importantly, today's show, it's very, very easy for, whoops, let me get this right, the right buttons pushed here. You can email me here directly, geeknews@gmail.com, if you have comments on today's show. Of course, you can reach me on Twitter at Geek News. You can follow me on Google Plus, on Facebook. You can watch the show on the Roku, on the Apple TV. You can, and on the Roku, it's the Tech Podcast channel. Yes, we have a channel. We were number 16 before there was 4,000 channels over there. But now you can get HBO on the Roku. We'll talk about that. Of course, you can listen on the Amazon Echo. And all you got to tell the Echo, and some of you have renamed your Echoes, but main thing is listen, podcast, Geek News Central, and they'll find the Alexa will find the show for you and play it. As well, of course, on Stitcher, of course, on blueberry.com as well. So lots of ways to listen. Of course, we want to thank our sponsor here. Without our sponsor, the lights would not be on, and things would have to change dramatically around here for sure. But GoDaddy.com has been a longtime sponsor of this show, and you know, they are the mainstay of what happens with me, and basically, again, like I said, keeping the lights on. And GoDaddy has, as always, in October, we have some great deals. We hope that you'll come over and consider GoDaddy as your hosting customer, whether it be a domain name, whether it be an SSL certificate, whether it be a hosting a server, whether it be one of their virtual dedicated servers. They've got a full, I mean, just everything that you possibly could ever need to get online, they have. Just don't buy any domain names with trademarks in them. But lots of domain names there. And, you know, we got 30% off of new product purchases. And this 99-cent deal, I did get confirmation. It's a one-time use. So what I've asked for is some additional deals that you guys can use on a more regular basis. For a while, lots of people could use that 99-cent deal on multiple domains, but they must have figured it out. Shucks. So that 99 cent deal is a one-time use code, sadly. So I'm trying to get you some deals there where we can offer some domains at a cheaper price. Now, still a great way to get a free domain is by, you know, doing a combo buy. And that really what that means is you basically get a web hosting site, whether it be a website builder, the economy hosting, or managed WordPress hosting. Very easily can you get connected there. And all my codes start with CJC, followed by GNC30, GNC99, GNCGOT, GNC1HS, GNCWP1. There is a product there for everyone, and there is ways to save money. If you get over to GoDaddy and you are not able to use any of my codes when you're getting ready to check out, please send me an email. I want to hear from you. I want to know that you haven't been able to exercise one of our codes. We want to share that upline with the GoDaddy staff. So if you find that you can't use a code on a product that you want to buy, send me that email and let me know. But really the best way to engage these codes, again, is come over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. That's going to get you on the page, you'll be able to click the link, get you right into the GoDaddy website. You can use these codes at checkout. So definitely don't forget about that. And even if you enter the code in, here's the key too. If you enter the code in and it doesn't give you a discount, which we want it to, especially like in a 30% off deal, if they've already got something discounted, at least I get credit for the purchase. So always use my code. We appreciate it when you do. And get over there and save some money. And we thank you for your ongoing support of our sponsor here, GoDaddy.com. Well, you know, as I kind of started to talk just a little bit up at the beginning of the show, 11th year. And I think you guys know that podcasting has fundamentally changed my life. I was talking with a new business associate a couple days ago. And I was explaining really the genesis of my show, the genesis of Raw Voice, how things came into place with us launching Blueberry, bringing all these products and services on. You all know that I'm heavily intertwined in the space, and sometimes I get like way, way passionate and maybe sometimes a little too aggressive in my commentary. But it's because I really love this space and I really love podcasters and what they're doing and what they're creating out there. And there's lots of options for podcasters these days, a lot. There's heavy competition in the space. You've got a variety of players, and there's lots of customers to go around. But at the same time, sometimes I cringe because every week we end up having to help someone, for a better word, unscrew something they've screwed up or they've started that they didn't start right or got some bad advice. And it pains me because there are a lot of so-called experts these days in this space and giving a variety of advice and many times advice that is tied to an agenda. As a business person, my agenda is very clear. I want you to use our products and services. I think we have the best product offering in the podcasting space. From a brand building standpoint, from intellectual property, from search engine optimization, the whole nine yards, everything. I mean, absolutely everything that we have done from the beginning. If I won't do it on my show, I won't bring it on as a product offering. And I live this and walk the walk and talk the talk, and you all have been walking along with me for 11 years. Little. I mean, I couldn't have imagined in a million years the day that I recorded episode one in that Hampton Inn hotel room on I-35 in Waco, Texas. You guys know the story. Never in my wildest dreams would we have went from there to here, to this. You know, I was kind of tuning up the cameras today. And, you know, my little studio here, I absolutely love. I really do. It is, you know, I build it so that I can do everything easily to be able to create content and manage my business and everything else, and crammed a lot in a little 10 by 10, 12 room and sat in this chair thousands of hours, probably to the detriment of my health, trying to make this dream come alive for thousands and thousands of podcasters. And I got an email the other day that came from another content creator that really made me appreciate, or not appreciate, how should I say this? It was a about a page, and he thanked me how I had changed his life too. And I've gotten these over the years. I've gotten these emails, and I have a special folder that I put them in. I never read those types of. That's, you know, almost, you know, it's not necessarily a show's email, it's a business email. But it made me realize that, I'm one piece of the cog. I'm not responsible for everything that's went on in the podcasting space. But 50,000 podcasters today use PowerPress, our podcasting plugin, to power their podcast. That is validation alone that we're doing the right things. And obviously, I've been outspoken for many years and I have very strong opinions, and that doesn't always go 100% with the grain with people that are new. They're trying to shake things up. And I appreciate those new people coming in and shake things up, because we all can't be like old dogs. We have to continue to learn and expand and open our eyes and ears. So on one hand, I get this, you know, this email from this guy, and it just touched my heart. On the other hand, I saw something on Facebook tonight where an individual says, "I hate PowerPress." And, you know, you have this contrast. And, you know, and I'm in my mind, I want to get defensive and I want to, you know, go to battle. But at the same time, I'm like, why? Why does he hate PowerPress? And sometimes I think it is, it's the nature of podcasters to be a little bit rebellious and, you know, and find their own way. And I appreciate that. I do. But, and we can't be perfect for everyone. I've learned that as well. But, and another thing that happened this week is I had a call with an individual that's getting ready to launch a new business. I can't say at all what he's getting ready to do. I mean, I'm excited for the guy. And I was, you know, pleased that he would be willing to share what he's doing. And I wish him the best of luck. Like I said, we want to see this space thrive. But at the 11-year mark in this of doing this show and being in the podcasting space, we've covered a lot of ground. We really have together. And friends have been made. Business relationships have been established. This Ohana, all of you that are here literally week after week, month after month, you know, I know oftentimes I challenge you to, you know, go out and reach out to congressmen for certain issues. I challenge you to, you know, be active, take a stand, email the show, you know, all those things that I do is trying to engage you and get you guys moving. Maybe I'm successful all the times, maybe I'm not. This audience is incredibly large. And oftentimes I'll get emails that ask me, don't read something on the air. That pains me when I get those types of emails. But they're never, you know, I think the bashers quit when they figured out that I wasn't going to be affected anymore, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. When I welcomed, you know, as I was telling my son, and I'm sorry I'm taking a lot of time tonight, but I thought this was important. I got a great tech show for you, too. Don't worry. It was, you know, I was telling my son, getting ready for the cross-country meet the other day. I said, on the hills, attack. Attack and go by people like lightning. And when you do, what will happen, if you're a cross-country runner and someone, like, smokes you on a hill, that can be devastating mentally. And it's part of the, you know, part of competition. It's part of racing, right? And I said, you do that. And I said, you take something away, you gain something, and you're going to, you know, and if you are conditioned enough to do that, get to the top of the hill and keep on cruising without them passing you again, I said, you'll go well in running cross country. And that was just one small piece of advice. And it was maybe my philosophy, but it was something I used to my advantage when I was running cross country as a kid. If I ran cross country now, they'd be out there with the paddles stroking me out. Is he still alive? Boom. You know, give him 15 breaths. Let's hit him again. So, As we go really here into the 11th year, I could digress for a long time, and I know that you don't want me to do that, but thanks for being for the ride. Thank you for being along. It's been incredible, and I just can't believe it's 11 years already. Where the hell did it go? Where did it go? You know, tomorrow morning at 9:30 a.m., I go to Punch Bowl Memorial, the Punch Bowl Cemetery, and we lay a good friend to rest. I lay someone that I worked with in the Navy, retired, you know, basically this guy was a mentor. He, you know, many of us referred to him as sensei, and it was big time endearment. And tomorrow we, you know, we go put him, not necessarily in the ground, because Punch Bowl only takes, ashes, basically, if you've been cremated, but we'll put his urn in the and lay him to rest. He's up there watching us now, and Steve is having a Coors Coors Light, hanging out and rewiring all of heaven. But there's a, we're getting to the point now, 10 or 11 years, that, and I'm 51, that, you know, I'm trying to think now, and it's not legacy time yet. It's not the time to be thinking about that. But I'm also looking at, okay, where do we go in 10 years? Now, 10 years and I'm 61, am I still doing the show? Or do we build this out and have more team members come on? Are we able to gain them success and allow things to go on? You know, I don't plan on leaving you. I don't plan on quitting. That's not the thing, but I'm starting to think about some of these things, and maybe that's what happens when you get a little older. You know, you're on the other side of the yardstick instead of the, you know, the other side. So, I think that we'll take year 11 and we'll look at where do we take the show out many years. And it's not like I'm Jay Leno and looking for a replacement for Geek News Central. But if I can entice one of my kids to kind of step up a little bit, and they're not ready yet, but if I can entice one of my kids, that would be my biggest dream, to put one of them someday in the seat. And maybe not do this show, but do another show. And we've got the ability to do that today. I can pick my successor. That's exciting. It really, really is. And, you know, and again, I don't know why I'm even thinking about that at this point. But it is just something that, you know, kind of crossed my mind. I don't know why. But, and maybe it's because I'm going to the funeral tomorrow and laying a good friend of mine to rest. So, yeah. It's that time, I guess. But anyway, I'm getting weird here, so let's move on. Hey, you know something? You guys are not listening. You don't want prizes, but Sam did. Sam, you got a case. And now here's what I've got here. Guess what I've got? I've got another one. So if there's someone else that wants one of these for the next show, you tell me. And if you're a brand new listener, this is going to be kind of suck, but for you, because you have no idea what to put in the email. But for the next giveaway for one of these Carbon S Series sleek snap cases for the iPhone 6 from UTech, if you want one of these, and these are stuff that vendors sent me. You know, this is, you know, I got stuff stacked up all over the place here that's like this. Tell me what's your biggest memory for 11 years of doing this show. You know, what is your highlight? Geeknews@gmail.com. Actually, insider, not insider. Yes, send it to insider@geeknewscentral.com. That's Sam Cervenes, our coordinator for this kind of stuff. It's his email. But Sam Garcia, I got your address. We'll get this in a package, hopefully this year, and shipped out to you before the iPhone 6 goes out of production. But anyway, we got, you know, two of these, and one of them is yours or someone else's for the next episode. Okay. And I still haven't emailed Sam, and I haven't emailed, I think, Chris on the other stuff. So that's coming. We'll do it over, get in contact with you over the weekend. But thanks, everyone, for letting me chit-chat here a while. Actually, longer than I should have at the beginning of the show. And if you're coming to listen to a tech show, yes, we're going to do that right now. And we're going to get into what I like to call the stack. I do have some fun stuff to talk about tonight. And I'll be honest with you. I made made an impulse buy today. My wife is going to absolutely kick my can because I put a moratorium on buying stuff. I had really tried not to let my geek fingers walk. But the folks at DJI today released something really, really cool. And in my mind, somehow I justified this. But I ordered the new DJI Osmo. And not necessarily an expensive device. It was under $1,000, but it was still a lot more than it should have been. This was teased at CES, and but now it is the real deal. It is available. It's going to be shipped on the 15th. I got my order in almost. I mean, I'm not kidding you. I got the email from DJI, saw this, and I was like, oh, I have to have one. And off I went and ordered one. So what it is, it's a 4K cam for super steady video. No skill required. That fits me perfectly. And it's basically a stabilized camera. And you can rock it back and forth, but it shoots in 4K, has an audio in, it has the ability to put it on a tripod, or you hook your iPhone to it. But this thing, you know, people are saying it's a little high in the price, whatever. I think this is awesome. And what's going to happen? What's going to happen with this particular device is that someone is going to be building hacks. There's going to be all kinds of cool stuff that's going to come from this. Maybe not in the first month or 2 months, but as soon as the API is opened up, there's going to be a lot of cool products tied to this this camera. And they got some cool videos showing what it's capable of doing. It retails, you get the camera and the grip and the ability to mount your mobile phone for $649. Now, I ordered a couple of extra items. I knew I just might as well order them to begin with. So my total order came to just a little over, just about $750. But this thing, from everything I'm seeing, is pretty wow. And I'm really excited to be able to get this. I'm going to have a lot of fun with this thing at CES. I'm going to do interviews with this on the fly. And maybe, if by then, maybe there might be, and I think there potentially is already a way to patch this thing into some live streaming stuff. So that's what I'm hoping. Now, battery life on it is about an hour. So that's the only thing that kind of really sucks at this point. So we're probably going to have to order some extra batteries for it. They weren't available on the website. That kind of that's normally what happens with DJI when you're ordering their stuff. Usually the batteries come a couple of weeks later, and they'll probably be $60, $70 a piece. If my house ever catches on fire, there's going to be one heck of a lithium ion. Oh, my goodness. I have lots of lithium ion batteries here. Matter of fact, I store them. I don't even store most of the batteries in my house anymore. I have those in a shed. The DJI Slick Stick, that's kind of what I want to call it. But the Osmo, the DJI Osmo, I just absolutely fell in love with this thing right off the bat and had to order one. So I guess what we'll call it, we'll call it my 11th year podcasting gift to me. But yeah, so this is going to come, and I'm going to get, fellas, y'all know, right? You don't clear something, you know, and something arrives, and you know, a lot of stuff here arrives that I don't ever pay for. And so she's always asked me, who sent you that? I said, that one has to go back. That one has to go back. And usually, you know, I'm getting the sideways look until those items do go back. And then, you know, she kind of relaxes. But stuff that comes and stays, then she kind of knows, oh, can I see the accounting on that one? So that's what's going to happen with this one. Guilty. So I'll have to just kind of pawn it off as the 11th anniversary present to me, which will mean no Christmas. I just bought my own Christmas present. But those of you that have the new iPhone 6S, you have a lot of features that this has, and you have some stability stuff built into the iPhone as well. So the thing I liked about it here is to be able to patch external audio in and be able to put a wireless on it and clean up the audio. So that was kind of that was one of the criteria I figured out right away and was what kind of pushed me over the edge. All right, switching gears, this next story. I've got a friend. Sank, are you listening? Your Verizon bill is about to go up $20. And I know, I know you are going to be absolutely insanely angry. But it's getting tougher to be an unlimited data customer on Verizon Wireless. So Verizon has said that all subscribers grandfathered on the unlimited data plans are going to see an increase of $20 in their monthly bill after November 15th. So you're going to raise, they're going to raise your price on your unlimited plans that you've been able to keep because you haven't renewed and you've just bought your phones outright. They're going to whack you for another $20 a month. So this is going to increase your monthly cost of unlimited data from 30 to 50. With voice calling and text added in, a customer's bill is going to be close to $100 a month. But I'm going to just be straight up. It's still cheap. I have two devices. I have a USB stick from Sprint, and I have a Verizon MiFi that has a combined plan with my iPad. Just those two bills alone run me about $130 a month, and that gives me 18 gigs of data external. And I almost use it all up. You know, I do. I'm a, you know, I don't spend a lot of time in this office during the day. I'm out and about. So for that mobility, I pay heavily for that. And the ability to hang at the beach or go wherever it may be. So your $20, it's going to make you mad, but it's nothing. That's nothing, 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 nothing as compared to what you're getting and what you've been grandfathered into. Okay. They're saying you could save money by switching to a tiered plan. Don't believe any of that crap. Don't do that. Keep your rates, keep paying your bill. You're going to get an extra $20. But if you're using the data like I would expect you to be, you're still going to be out way ahead, okay? My buddy Sank, he streams audio all day long. All day long, he streams audio. He says, it's unlimited. I can do whatever I want, right? And they don't throttle him, so far, so good. You know, the U.S. government basically said, well, because you guys can't get your act together, we're going to switch the, we're going to push back the handover back to back a year. So what's really happening now is because of this big brouhaha and them not being able to get the, take control until October 1, 2016 now, the ICANN board is coming out with both barrels. They're warning, unless the internet community makes concessions on the controls that it wants to place on the organization's board, the process could take even longer, and that could lead to the end of the ICANN itself. Okay. As well as the United Nations taking over the internet. Well, I'll be honest with you. The U.S. government is not, I don't think they're too stupid to turn over the internet to the United Nations. I think this is just a lot of pomp and circumstance. On a conference call this week between ICANN board members and chairs of the committees drawing up the IANA transition plan, one side caught people's attention. It was titled, Five Risks We Face If the IANA Stewardship Transition is Delayed or Fails. And listen to what they're saying. Number one, ICANN's community may fracture or fray slowly, becoming divided, acrimonious, bitter, potentially risking ICANN's stability, effectiveness, and impacting the participation of global stakeholders. The technical operating committees using IANA may go separate ways, with the IETF and the numbering committees choosing to take their business elsewhere, ending the integrity of the Internet's logical infrastructure. Governments, encouraged by G77, may lead an effort, starting this year, during the WSIS review, to shift internal governance responsibilities to more stable and predictable intergovernment platform. Key Economics, number 4, Key Economics, has shifted since the NTIA's announcement in March 2014, may reverse their support for one internet logical infrastructure coordinated by ICANN. So they go on and on. Now, this is what, of course, the internet community has been, they're the one pushing for some controls on the board. And this is what one of the folks' response was. Wow! That slide is a contentious parade of horribles if I ever saw one. Another one noted, I think the doomsday scenarios are just a bit exaggerated. We have to stop scaring people with the G77 boogeyman. Others chimed in with similar sentiments. Again, at the heart of the issue are changes that the Internet Committee wants to make to the functioning of the ICANN. Those changes will limit the absolute authority currently enjoyed by the organization's staff and board and make them subject to the overall will of the Internet community. I think the Internet community is going to get what they want ultimately. I'm hoping that the United States government listens. And as we see this stuff continue to progress, we'll definitely want to stay abreast of what's going on. But now a lot of posturing is going on. So we will we'll watch this and see where it leads. But they are definitely crying by it like a bunch of little babies. Many of you are going to start seeing on your Android phones USB Type-C connectors. And what that's going to do is going to turn your phone into a battery pack. So, you know, if you've ever been out with your friend or maybe your wife or your kids, and they say, my cell's almost dead, instead of handing them a battery pack, you don't have to carry one now. You can hand them your phone and plug the cable in and plug, basically you could charge their phone from your phone. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but in a jam, you can do that. So that's what will happen with the Type-C USB connectors that are forthcoming. Little NASA news. NASA has successfully tested what they're calling an umbrella-like heat shield made of carbon fiber that could protect future Mars entry missions. And what this carbon fiber is, it's obviously a lot lighter than what a heat shield normally would be. So be able to have a, you know, a lighter payload going to Mars and have the same type of protection as a, you know, whatever they use normally with the tiles and stuff. So very exciting. They ran it today at 3,100 degrees Fahrenheit, and the prototype did very, very well. So congratulations to NASA on that. You just think a little bit of carbon fiber in between, you know, the, and obviously not using that on reentry vehicles coming into Earth's atmosphere, but going into Mars, it's probably a comforting thing. And just a little bit of carbon fiber is protecting me from death. Apple TV. What? I'm just like, what's going on? So when Apple initially introduced its upcoming Apple TV, it said it was on track for an October release. Now comes word that the Apple TV release has now been slightly pushed back, with pre-orders for the device will open in late October via Apple Online Store. Deliveries will not begin until the first week of November. So they're just a little bit behind for the fourth gen app. So can't wait. We're going to have some Apple TV giveaways here. We are going to give away some Apple TVs down the road. So you're going to want to stay and listen and be on here for that chance to win. This is a big event for us, is these new Apple TVs with an app store. If any of you have upgraded to El Capitan, there is a feature within OS X now to be able to see which software applications or what was deactivated during the install. And if you're listening, clicking, you can click fast. You can go to your hard drive, library, system migration, history, migration UUID, quarantine root. Yeah, in other words, it's deep down the bug trail. But I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to take a look and see what may have been deactivated. Those of you in the UK, the BBC is vowing to make more cuts in response to government review and at the same time open up a little more, which means that more programming leaving, maybe coming to the United States, making it available as a premium channel for us. So a lot of discussion going on. I really would like to take from one of our UK listeners talking about the BBC Royal Charter and its renewal and the ongoing review and what's happening there and what you're seeing in the news and what do you think's going to happen with this shakeup of what's going on with the BBC that, you know, they're saying they're going to have to cut costs by another 20%. That means they're going to have to either get rid of some people or figure out a way to save money different ways. You know, they've already cut over 1,000 jobs in this current period. And so I'd like to hear what you guys think, what's going to happen with the BBC, with the, you know, essentially with the proliferation of more content in Europe now with the competitors. For those of you in the UK, what do you think is going to happen with the BBC? So don't forget, if you're an iOS user, the Chromecast app for iOS is no longer a sad bare interface. It's had a major update. And many of you that are on iOS probably didn't even know that the Chromecast stick works with iOS. We've talked about it on the show before. But it's got a major role here. And a lot more stuff that you can get access to. There's What On and Get Apps tab. And really, there's popular trending shows, stuff from Netflix and Hulu. So it also shows you a list of cast-enabled applications that you can get. And it now comes with a search function as well. So it's a lot more shinier and works a lot better. This is going to be cool for a couple of kids in my house. They've been driving me crazy. And both of them have monitors that can be utilized as TVs. So I think a Chromecast may be in their near future for maybe that's what Santa Claus or something will get them, because they can take those Chromecasts and they can use them and they can just, you know, push to their monitors in their rooms and not have to bugging me all the time to either get a device or whatever it may be. So my kids are fully cord-cutted. I mean, they don't watch regular TV at all. Let's see here. Let me move on from this app I'm not familiar with. Let's talk about Lyft. Lyft is announcing, and are any of you driving for Lyft? I got to thinking about it the other day. I thought, I wonder if I was driving for Lyft, or that might be kind of a cool thing to do, just for fun from time to time. I don't have a car that's new enough for Lyft or for Uber. I think you have to have a car that's less than 5 years old. My vehicle is just outside that. Well, it's a year outside that window. I have a 2009. So, but Lyft is now partnering with Hertz. You can actually rent a car and drive people around with Lyft. I thought, how is that going to work from an insurance standpoint? But they have partnered with them. They've also partnered with a couple of gas stations to give them discounts on fuel. So basically, they're going to be able to get fleet fuel pricing, which is awesome, with Shell gasoline. So that's awesome that they're going to be able to do that. And also now they're going to get payments, so it's automated. At $50, as soon as you have $50 in your Lyft account, you can transfer that to your bank. They're going to let you transfer money early now. So that, I don't know what the level was before, but I guess for those folks that don't drive as often, this may be a way to quickly get money out of the account. If you're a Lightroom, didn't even take a breath and I switched articles here. Adobe is ditching the Creative Cloud requirement for Lightroom. So if you're using Lightroom Mobile, those apps are already free to download, and the software still required Creative Cloud login for you to own the desktop version to get any real use out of it. Well, that's not the case. And Adobe nixed the membership requirement for Lightroom on iOS this week, and it will be the same for the Android version that debuted earlier this year. So now the photo editing arsenal, that's a huge application, is going to be You don't have to have it to account. You just download it and use it. So very, very, very cool on Adobe's part. You know, I have absolutely fell in love. I've got an XPS. So let me tell you how profound a change it was when I got my XPS. I have a laptop right behind me. Matter of fact, let me grab it. This is a monster. 17-inch Dell. This is a great machine. This is a i7. It's got a lot of power. It's a great computer. Well, when I got my XPS 15-inch last year, and it was the one that Dell, they provided it to me. We disclosed it when reviewed it. They provided it to me to review, and I absolutely fell in love with that computer. Well, today, Dell has announced a whole revamped line of computers. And again, the XPS 13 and the XPS 15 and the XPS 12 hybrid are all available. If you are in the market for a Windows machine, I'm just going to ask you to consider looking at these XPS machines. They're fantastic. The new models supposedly fix what everyone's been complaining about is the trackpad. I never had any problem with the trackpad on the laptop itself. But they say the new ones have made it just incredible. So the XPS 13, 15, super machine. So if you're looking, please take one of these into consideration. If you don't have a place where you can go touch one at like a Microsoft store, go online, read the Dell site. I fully endorse this particular line of laptops. I think they're fabulous. Mine, and now I go just in a backpack. Actually, I've got a 13-inch. I don't have a 15-inch, but it's still got a 4K screen. And does everything I need. It's awesome. So consider that. Okay, if you are, again, in the market for a laptop, let's talk about some bad people. Let's talk about Volkswagen. If you've got a Volkswagen car that's in this a group of folks that have some emission issues, Volkswagen's thinking about giving you some money. They realize that your car value may have went in the crapper. So they're thinking about writing you a check. Maybe they're going to give you $50. Who knows? I'm laughing, but I'm sorry. I know it's bad. But they say they got a fix, and it's only going to, you know, when you step on the gas after the fix, you're only going to have a few miles per hour less under the hood, speed-wise. That's what they say. So they were in front of Congress today, and the U.S. CEO testified that there was no way Volkswagen corporate knew what was going on. This was done by some low lackey in the engineering department. And of course, a number of senators said, "Sir, don't think we're so gullible." But it makes you wonder how much cheating is going on across the board in all these industries where there are EPA standards set. Do ways to pass the test so that you get through the regulations to get your thing to market. First of all, it's sad that they have to do that. I understand. We are worried about the environment. Well, it didn't do any good anyway, right? So I don't know what's going on. We didn't know. How big is the fine going to be? We have to start a pool on that. You know, put each of us put a dollar in a pool, and whatever one of us comes closest in the billions of dollars in fines wins the pool. We don't do any gambling on this show, so I will stop. But that's too bad that they're already, you know, doing the political dance. there's some more video, some more images. New Horizon has captured an image of water, ice, and blue skies on Pluto. So they say that the NASA New Horizon spectra shows a dwarf planet has a blue haze and water ice, the agency said. As NASA explains, the blue sky is formed by the way haze particles scatter blue light through. Although the particles themselves are probably gray or red, the particles responsible for the color are soot-like particles we call tholons, the agency writes. Also shown in images were exposed regions of water ice. Large expanses of Pluto don't show exposed water, but it's apparently masked by other more volatile ices across most of the planet. So, very, very cool. That's, I guess, why it has a little bit of a blue hue. HBO is now finally available on the Roku. That's good news. So that's one less device that you have to have. So the Roku 4 obviously has come out, and I'm just like smacking myself in the head because less than 30 days ago, I ordered a Roku 3. I'm not upgrading. It's not worth the update at this point, considering the other stuff I have to buy. But if you are on the Roku, you probably get a software update. You're probably going to have HBO on it. Google's reporting that more than half of all Google searches now happen on mobile devices. That just kind of shocks me a lot. It really, really does. That would actually be the case, that we would see that large of a shift. But, a lot of people are heads down in there. You know, we're all going to be like this when we get older. We're all going to be walking around. Our chins are going to be down in our, in our chest because we can't lift our heads up anymore. I'm waiting for the day that they'll be able to put my phone on my glasses or implant into my, eyeball so I can continue to look around and, have my head up instead of looking down at my device. Backdoor is infecting Cisco VPNs. So this is pretty bad. If you have a Cisco clientless SSL VPN, be aware that there are some hacks out there for hackers to get into your system. So if you're running, again, a Cisco clientless SSL VPN, and those of you that may be running this, the geeks out there, you're the system administrators, the IT guys, if you have one of these, you need to read this article because you might be hacked, okay? So I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to review. This is an interesting article. A gentleman did a presentation at Purdue, and it contained slides from Edward Snowden's leaked data. Some of those slides had security markings on them. Well, if he was showing those slides at, let's say, the Elks Club or at a conference, he probably wouldn't have had any issue. But because Purdue has government contracts and they have people on campus that have security clearances, they are underneath basically a government contract on the proper storage of classified material. So as soon as this talk went on, and there were slides that had classified information on them, and it went into part of Purdue's unclassified network. That's a word that's called spillage. Because Purdue has this contract and does defense stuff and have people there with security clearances, they have to abide by the security rules that the U.S. government sets upon them to protect the release and accidental dissemination of material that should not be on the unclassified network. So they got Purdue got in all kinds of trouble, and they pulled those videos down. So it made me thought, wow, that's an interesting development. Here you have a guy that's, talking to a bunch of students or whatever, giving a presentation. And this happened just a few weeks ago. It happened on September 24th. So, and this guy has been involved in being one of the people that got a lot of materials from Snowden. So I'm sure anywhere this guy goes, he's probably followed around. But it's a little bit of a wow. So Purdue was scrambling to remove that stuff from the network. Even though, let's just take it. You guys go, well, why? This stuff's all out in the public. Well, technically, the stuff that's out in the public is still not supposed to be out in the public. And whatever that marking was on those paperworks has not necessarily been downgraded, even though it's been exposed. So it's kind of like the semantics of the, you know, the rules of the game. And they got in trouble. So Purdue was a little bit frantic in pulling that down. I'm sure that they realized that, we're breaking the agreement we made with Uncle Sam. And I think many of you probably think as crazy, that sounds crazy, but that's just how things work. That's the real world. It's not what you see in the news. All right, Netflix has hiked prices of its most popular service by $1 to $9.99. So if you've been paying $8.99 for the popular streaming service, they've raised it a dollar. I don't know if they increased the other plans or not. Let me look. Have they increased the other plans? Because I think I'm on the next plan up. Nope, it doesn't say anything about... actually, I'm on the plan. I still get DVDs from Netflix as well, because sometimes you get Netflix stuff that's not available on streaming. All right, Amazon will launch an Etsy competitor called Handmade at Amazon. So early this morning, they officially launched its already anticipated handcrafted product site. And so according to the e-commerce giant, it's currently offering more than 80,000 products from artisans in more than 60 countries with wares in jewelry, art, decor, furniture, and more. And I was going to show you guys this. Let me bring this over here. Actually, let me bring you over here and then bring this up on the website so you can apply. I guess it's open. So where's the website at? This is just information about it. But if they've launched it, yeah, they've launched it. So I have to go over to Amazon and look for the, how many of you spend... this is a good question to ask all of you. How much do you spend at Amazon every month? What's your total Amazon bill? Mine is out of control, but we don't hardly shop anywhere unless, we try to, but man, it's so easy. 10 o'clock at night tonight, I needed some micro SD cards. And went online, found some 64 gigs, class 10 drives, $19. And so I bought three. It's sometimes too easy to buy stuff on Amazon. The UPS drivers must be going crazy because, they're coming to the house three times a week, dropping stuff off. So between the kids and I and my wife, we put a lot of money in Amazon every month. All right, AT&T's Wi-Fi capability is now available. It's been turned on today. So any of you on AT&T, you can do that. So the AT&T Wi-Fi calling feature is a go. At the same time, I put some drone videos up on my YouTube channel. If you want to go see them, go to youtube.com/geeknews. You can tell I'm going to need some I need some more flight time. I'm just not getting enough. Sometimes I go right when I wanted to go left, and I haven't got my turn rates turned yet. I'm turning too fast. I'm experimenting a lot. So you guys can see some of my drone flights. I put a couple of flights together in a compilation video. Again, they're up on youtube.com/geeknews. But in Singapore, they're doing, the Singapore Post is doing some trials, island hopping delivery by drone program. So they can carry about 3 pounds. And what it is the Singapore Post has employees on these islands. And instead of waiting for deliveries to come over via boat, it's a 3-mile flight. They send the materials over. They land at a location with one of the employees can get the mail. And then they restart the drone and they fly it back to the actual post. I thought this was really slick. I really did. I like how they did this. And I was more interested in, believe it or not, was the actual drone. I was looking at the specific drone that they have. It's made by a company, and it will carry about 3 to 4 pounds. It's called Steady Drone, a QU4D. It's a kit. I'm not into building kits. I don't have time to build kits, but it's really a pretty nice drone. This could turn into one of those type of hobbies where it's like a boat. It may never end, but anyway, the company that makes the drone that the Singapore company is using is called PixHawk, and it's a steady drone. So I'll have links up to all that in the show notes. Apple's downplaying some iPhone 6S battery concerns. People are saying that they're discharging at different rates using the same apps. I don't know how that's possibly even measured anyway, but Apple's saying it's supposed to be within 3% of each other. You know, they've got a margin of error. So, but anyway, there's a little bit of news on that. One thing that, and this is when I kind of like do the little dance, I saw that there's more sign that fewer viewers are opting to sign up for cable in the first place, younger viewers. According to a Forrest research study, cited by the Wall Street Journal, about 18% of the U.S. population have never signed up for cable TV. In fact, the study reveals that among viewers of the ages 18 and to 31, the number of viewers who aren't subscribing to cable is now greater than the number of viewers opting to cancel their cable. So this is very, very, very bad news for the cable companies. The line is accelerating. In the decrease in the number of people that have cable, while at the same time, the numbers that are subscribing to Hulu and Netflix and HBO On Demand are increasing. Comcast subscriptions, again, are dropping off like a rock. So it's going to get worse for those companies. They're going to have to figure out a different model. And that's why Comcast wants to have bandwidth caps. That's their next way to, you know, reach in your pocket and get $220 out of your pocket every month. There's an article over in CNET. They've built been working on a smart home, and they've been letting folks that are part of readers over at CNET suggest what they do next in a smart home automation. And this is kind of the first I've caught up on this. But what the listeners are asking for now is automated blinds. So blinds that will either raise or lower, open or close, depending on the time of day, from, you know, the ability to close them when the sun is shining on the windows, to being open when maybe someone's in the room, to decrease the amount of utilization of lights. So that's what they're working on now, is actually making blinds smart so that they save heat when no one's in the room, or prevent house from heating up, or give light, natural light, to folks when someone is in the room. So pretty smart stuff. Also, Sprint and T-Mobile were making big gains in New York City and picking up new customers. They've been very aggressive. We've all seen those deals coming forth, but they're starting to see an impact. And the networks in New York City are pretty robust for those two companies. And Verizon is actually having to counter with some deals themselves to try to keep customers. Excuse me here. Let me take a shot of H2O. In California, a law was signed today. The governor, Jerry Brown, signed a bill into law that requires police to get a warrant to use a stingray device during investigation. Those devices are also known as cell site simulators, are used to locate a phone, but can also, in some cases, intercept calls and text messages. That's according to this article on arsnetica.com. The law, known as the California Electronic Communications Privacy Act, imposes other sweeping new requirements to enhance digital privacy and poses a warrant requirement before police can access nearly any type of digital data produced or contained within a device or service. So this is big. This is a big deal, and we'll see if more states follow. But the folks in California, your constitutional rights are being protected again. It's not going to stop you from being, you know, targeted if they get a warrant against you, but at least they got to go to a judge and say, here's the case, here's the reason. We sign the warrant, judge, and the judge is going to have to agree that there's sufficient evidence to put a warrant against you to use these types of devices. So that's good news. It really is. All right, Apple starting sales of SIM-free iPhones 6S and 6S Plus handsets. Don't know what they cost, but again, they are SIM-free when you pick them up. You don't have to put a carrier in it. You'll put the SIM in later. I think many of these will probably end up overseas. All right, Mozilla is setting out its proposed principles for content blocking, with Apple embracing ad blocking and the likes of AdBlock Plus providing more popular than ever content is making headlines at the moment. Mozilla's proposed principles are content neutrality, transparency and control, and openness. There's statements that they've made on how they're going to handle this and what they're going to do. But Mozilla appears to be trying to be as impartial as possible with the suggestions and is quick to point out that this is not an exercise in defining good content and bad content. Rather, it is an attempt to design a framework that defines how and why content could be blocked. So that's out from Mozilla. At the same time, if you are been holding out and you still have a PlayStation 3 and you want a PlayStation 4, they went down by $50. So Sony's dropped the price from $400 to $350. And that includes a copy of either Uncharted, the Nathan Drake collection, or Star Wars Battlefront. Told my kids this morning in the car, I said, hey, the PS4 is down to $350. And Ray said, really? And I said, yep. And then he went back to sleep. So they didn't get too excited. All right, that's going to wrap it for content. I'm still doing okay on time, believe it or not. But I do have emails that I want to go into tonight. I know Jack emailed me a bunch of stuff, so I want to read what he said. And I think we had a few things as well. And, of course, I didn't load the email before I started the show like a knucklehead. Why aren't you loading? How come you're being slow? Huh. Shouldn't be that slow. I may have to... Oh, there it goes. Finally. Sometimes, I don't know what it is. I think I know what it is. I've got the machine doing a bunch of stuff right now. But this machine's a monster. It shouldn't be slow at all. All right, the last episode of Geek News Central was on Monday the 5th. And let's start out with an email that came from Bree. She said, hey, Todd, a little light on the Trans-Pacific deal. And she's provided me a link to the Sunlight Foundation's website. I have a blog post that's linked to that. Bree, I appreciate that. At some point, we're going to get to see the whole thing. That's what I'm looking for, see the details. But I do appreciate that link. So here is, Jack sent me three emails. And let me read the first. And this is about Volkswagen. He said, Todd, a security blogger, Nadim Kobesi, wrote an article about how the DMCA allowed Volkswagen, wrote an article about how the DMCA allowed votes at Volkswagen and how they were able to ship safely, situation-dependent software. So let me say that again. How Volkswagen was able to ship safely situation-dependent software that could detect when it was being tested and provide different results than normal operations. The DMCA made this software legally impervious to inspection, and by the way, all other backdoors, any software vendor could ship software, say for a phone, that could bypass encryption if the right code is sent, but would work properly if you or, say, a researcher was looking at the process. Since the DMCA makes inspecting the code illegal, they don't have to worry about being caught. So he gave me a link to his website. He says, maybe it's time to push our representatives to change the DMCAs, especially since this is what allowed Volkswagen to keep this backdoor hidden from the government and its customers for over 5 years, Jack. So, you know, here's the thing I think about source code. My company has tens of thousands of lines of code. It is by far one of our most valuable assets in the company. It is an intellectual property that we have spent 10 hard years building. Do I really want to turn my source code over to let someone look at it? I know, I'm thinking from a business standpoint. There would have to be controls. And there would have to be assurances that the code would not end up on the street. That would be my concern. I can't tell you several million dollars worth of intellectual property, just coding time. I mean, just the salary to put the code in place and keep it updated and do everything that we do. It's, you know, millions. And not just what it's worth too. So I understand why they don't want no one looking in, but at the same time, why they would. But the problem is would anyone know what they're looking at anyway? Dissecting someone's code is very, very difficult. Jax goes on, he says, "Hey Todd, the Security Now podcast is a big proponent of uBlock Origin. That's what I'm using right now on my Chrome browser. And they were talking about how some responsive websites starting to respond to ad blocking software by notifying the user and reducing their ad load on the website. They mentioned Fozbytes.com. This website puts up a cover message that says, please consider reading this notice. We found out that you're using AdBlock Plus or some other ad blocking software, which is preventing the page from fully loading. We don't have any disturbing banners, flash, animation, obnoxious sounds, or pop-up ads. We do not implement these annoying types of ads. We need money to operate the site, and almost all of it comes from our online advertising. Currently, we are running low on budget. Please add Fozbytes.com to your ad blocking whitelist or disable your ad blocking software." So Jack goes on to say, if you go to this site with uBlock Origin, it loads 1.7 megs if you have it active. If you do deactivate it, uBlock Origin for this site loads 2.2 mega data. This isn't bad. I did this with this website and could not tell the difference in load times. I don't mind advertisements as long as they're not disturbing banners, flash animations, or pop-ups. Just some websites are reacting positively to user demand for a better user experience. Jack, I agree. They are responding. They have to. And one more additional to that note, he says, this is an additional comment and data from Medium.com about how mobile phone carriers are making more in data fees from advertisements than the publishers are. Another reason to use ad blockers. Wow, that's crazy. So, final two, Kirk, I got your email. Thank you very much. I'll be pinging back with you hopefully over the weekend here. And I thank our coordinator, Sam Cerveni, for taking care of our last little contest, even though we had minimal response. But that's okay. The early bird gets the word. Again, we'll give this the last little prize out here. You just got to tell me what you've liked or what you've loved about the show over the last 11 years or a memorable moment or whatever you want. And send it to insider@geeknewscentral.com. It's been my pleasure to bring you a show. We got done on time. I got through the stuff. I chopped the articles down tonight. I kind of was, you know, knowing it was going to take a little longer to chat with you all. And I hope that you've absolutely enjoyed the show. It's been my pleasure to bring it to you. Really kind of the closest we could get to the actual 11th year anniversary. Wow, what a ride. What a ride. And, you know, you can tell that we're only on episode 66 this month. I should be a lot, or this year, I should be a lot closer to 100. So it is what it is. I know some of you hate that saying, but in order to keep my sanity, that's the way the baby ball bounces. All right, folks, thanks so much. geeknews@gmail.com, on Twitter @geeknews, and we'll be here Saturday with a new media show, Rob Greenlee and I. It's going to be a very interesting interview. I'm looking forward to this one here. All I'll say is our guest's first name starts with Nick. and he's from New York. And those of you in the podcasting space that don't know who Nick is, need to tune in on Saturday and listen to the New Media Show. It's going to be a great one. It really is. I mean, it's going to be a great one. It'll be a lot of fun. So, again, today has been my pleasure to bring you Geek News Central. We'll see you next time. Everyone take care. Aloha.